Whenever I correctly performed 7 actions or recited 7 lines of dialogue in a row, the game would award me a cue card power-up. The next time I blanked on what to do or say, I could select the cue card icon, and the correct action or line of dialogue would appear on my display, sort of like a teleprompter. During scenes that didn't involve my character, the simulation cut to a passive third-person perspective, and all I had to do was sit back and watch things play out, sort of like watching a cutscene in an old video game. During these scenes, I could relax until my character came on screen again. During one of these breaks, I tried to access a copy of the movie from my Oasis console's hard drive with the intention of playing it in a window on my display so I could refer to it, but the system wouldn't let me. In fact, I found that I couldn't open any windows at all while inside the gate. When I tried, I got a warning: no cheating. Try to cheat again, and it's game over. Luckily, it turned out that I didn't need any help. Once I'd collected the maximum of 5 cue card power-ups, I began to relax, and the game actually started to be fun. It wasn't hard to enjoy being inside one of my favorite flicks. After a while, I even discovered that I could earn bonus points by delivering a line in the exact tone and with the same inflection as in the film. I didn't know it at the time, but I'd just become the first person to play an entirely new type of video game. When GSS got wind of the war game simulation inside the first gate, and they did a short time later, the company quickly patented the idea and began to buy up the rights to old movies and TV shows and convert them into immersive interactive games that they dubbed FlickSyncs. FlickSyncs became wildly popular. There turned out to be a huge market for games that allowed people to play a leading role in one of their favorite old movies or TV series. By the time I reached the final scenes of the movie, I was starting to get twitchy from exhaustion. I'd now been up for over 24 hours straight, jacked in the entire time. The last action I had to perform was instructing the Whopper supercomputer to play itself at tic-tac-toe. Since every game the Whopper played ended in a tie, this had the improbable effect of teaching the artificially intelligent computer that Global Thermonuclear War 2 was a game in which the only winning move is not to play. This prevented the Whopper from launching all of the United States ICBMs at the Soviet Union. I, David Lightman, a teenage computer geek from suburban Seattle, had single-handedly prevented the end of human civilization. The NORAD command center erupted in celebration, and I waited for the movie's end credits to roll. But they didn't. Instead, all the characters around me vanished, leaving me alone in the giant war room. When I checked my avatar's reflection in a computer monitor, I saw that I no longer looked like Matthew Broderick. I'd changed back into Parzival. I glanced around the empty NORAD command center, wondering what I was supposed to do next. Then, all of the giant video display screens in front of me went blank, and 4 lines of glowing green text appeared on them. It was another riddle. The captain conceals the jade key in a dwelling long neglected, but you can only blow the whistle once the trophies are all collected. I stood there for a second, staring at the words in stunned silence. Then I snapped out of my daze and quickly took several screenshots of the text. As I was doing this, the copper gate reappeared, embedded in a nearby wall. The gate was open, and through it I could see Halliday's bedroom. It was the exit. The way out. I'd done it. I'd cleared the first gate.